So cool. If you got your Bibles, open up to Psalm 54. Oh, not Psalm 54, Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. This weekend brings to a close the 23rd year of our fellowship. A year ago, I talked about an impression I had that started with Impact's 21st year and looked forward toward our 24th. And when I looked at the number 21, I saw descending numbers, 2 and 1. And I recognized that that year of our fellowship did involve a little decline, maybe some pruning. There were a variety of factors, not the least of which was all the COVID crazy hysteria stuff going on. However, by year 22, things were leveling out again. And when we read the New Testament together as a body, that January and February, God broke us free from all the residual resistance that was left over from a social distancing worldview. Heading into our 23rd year last year, I saw ascending numbers, 2 and 3. And I felt like, and I talked about it then, that the Lord quickened within my spirit that we were in for a year of slow, steady increase and growth. And praise the Lord, by almost every metric we can use, that is exactly what's happened here all year long. Weekend worship services, they've been slowly increasing. Our nursery, kids, youth, young adult ministries are all growing. We've offered more impact groups in this last year than ever before in the history of our fellowship. Monthly events like men's breakfast and women's gathering and the Nest, they're all prospering. We sent 2 teams to the mission field this year. We sent a short-term team to Puerto Rico, and we sent a short-term team to Oaxaca. And across the board, our levels and demonstrations of generosity, as well as giving, are up. Just as a frame of reference, how many of you here this morning, you started coming to Impact since last September? Just up and down here real quick, since last September. Yeah, thank you, Lord. In another demonstration of his mercy and kindness and goodness, God has done among us what he said he'd do over the last year. In God's kingdom, life attracts life, and he gave us a year of slow and steady growth. And I think he did that to get us ready for Impact's 24th year. In the year to come, I believe the Lord has prepared us for an opportunity to experience a double portion increase, like you see with 2 and 4. Although that may end up being reflected in the number of people who choose to come to Impact for a worship service or to be part of one of our many groups or gatherings, the more I've prayed into this double portion increase idea, the more I believe it's something God wants to bring into our individual lives that can then spill over into what's going on inside the walls and within the scope of our ministry here at Impact. Remember in Isaiah 9, an unending increase the zeal of the Lord is accomplishing was prophesied of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. The one called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, has been engaged in and is committed to unending increase. So we might as well aspire to and say yes to being part of unending increase in real and practical ways. And why not even more so than ever before in the year to come? A little over 19 years ago, Cindy and I had come down to Kerrville to find a house. It was early July, and in order to stay on the schedule that I had in my mind about getting down here from Fort Worth to begin pastoring on August the 1st, we had a 3-day window to find a 4-bedroom house in Kerrville that we could afford. Well, the first 2 days, we looked at several places. Our kids were really interested in looking at some place with land, so we looked at a few places with land, but then Cindy and I looked at each other and said, do you want to take care of land? Do I want to take care of land? No, we don't want to take care of land. Then we looked at several other places, and they were all fixer-uppers. Now, I've got some skills, but I don't have those. And also, living in a fixer-upper as a family of 7, that just was not a realistic option. As I woke up on the morning of the 3rd day, when I was working on this week, I thought, on the morning of the 3rd day, there's a lot of good things that happen on the morning of the 3rd day. A passage came to mind that I want us to look at a little deeper this week, and it's Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. And it just hit me so strong, and I shared it with Cindy, and we prayed about it together. And then we went by the bank one more time, and lo and behold, they enlarged the qualifying amount of the mortgage they were willing to give us. which added some new houses to our look at list. And the very first one that we walked into that morning, I knew when we walked in, that's it. That was going to be a place. And while we were walking around looking at that house, actually the phone rang and the answering machine went off in that house. Remember answering machines? Nobody has those anymore. But the answering machine goes off and it's a realtor telling the owner of the house, hey, good news, your contract on the house, another place here in town, has gone through. You've got that house. And our realtor said, you just got a motivated seller. Well, we drove back to Fort Worth that day and going up 16 all the way to 20 and some talking and a lot of quiet because we were being stretched. Like, how could we pay for that? How could we afford to make that amount of payment on a house and just wrestling? About the time we got back to cell phone service at 20, the realtor said, I know you didn't say I could do it, but I've been negotiating this. You got to take this deal. You're buying this house or what they bought it for 2 years ago. You can't. And sure enough, we did. And one of those third day lookats became our home that we've been at for the last 19 years. This weekend, as we finish up Impact's 23rd year and look toward our 24th, I want us each to consider five clear action-based instructions in this verse. Enlarge, stretch, do not hold back, lengthen, and strengthen. And as we do, let's let God open the eyes of our heart that we can all be best positioned to receive and participate in a double portion increase that God has in his heart for each of us. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who is a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Now, interestingly, in Hebrew, this passage begins with only two words, barren, rejoice. Barren, rejoice. In the natural, these words express two ends of an emotional spectrum. Yet over and over again throughout the Bible, God has a penchant for turning the sorrow of barrenness into the fullness of joy. This word for barren can mean sterile. It even includes the implications that whatever is needed to reproduce has been destroyed or removed. And it comes from the word to pluck up by the roots, to hamstring, to exterminate. And that's a pretty bleak word picture. And sometimes life can be like that. Sometimes life definitely feels like that, especially if we're trying to live disconnected from rather than remaining in the vine, or if we've stopped continuing in God's love, or if we've let go of childlike faith, and like Garrett shared last week in From the Message Bible, we've let ourselves get careless in the care of God. Regardless of what we did or how we got ourselves into the place of being or feeling barren, the way out is always the same. Rejoice. Rejoice. It's an opposite spirit response. It's not what we think of doing in and of ourselves, and it's certainly not what our flesh feels like doing, but it is the spirit-inspired, spirit-led way out of barrenness and into growth and increase. An inability to rejoice is an abandonment from gratitude. I don't think the importance of living our lives grounded in gratitude can be overemphasized. Regardless of how hard, challenging, or even blessed our lives are at any moment, we cannot ever afford to stop cultivating attitudes of gratitude. Living in and experiencing God's will overflows from faithfully cultivating the practical spiritual discipline of giving thanks in all circumstances. Barren, rejoice. Now, rather than rejoice, the King James, the Amplified, the NIV say sing. But in Hebrew, this rejoice isn't a song. Instead, it's best understood as a shout. Specifically, a shout for joy. This rejoice can mean to cry out, to be caused to shout for joy, to shout in triumph. But in contrast to some kind of melodious song, this rejoice literally means to creak or to emit a stridulous sound. You know the word stridulous? Stridulous describes a harsh, grating noise. So bottom line, this rejoice is just about being able to make a loud, joyful noise, and all of us can do that, whether we're singers or not. Isaiah used this word repeatedly throughout his writings, and it shows up several times in the Psalms. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him, Psalm 33:1. I will rejoice in your strength. At each and every sunrise, I will celebrate your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble, Psalm 59:16. Because you are my help, I will rejoice in the shadow of your wings, Psalm 63:7. Psalm 95 starts like this: come, let us rejoice in the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. Isaiah 54 opens with, barren, rejoice. It's a call for the barren to look past the moment and see something amazing coming right around the corner. Increase is coming. Increase is coming. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their cities. Whatever our past looks like, however things may look and feel in the present, no matter what's been lacking or what we think of as our inabilities or our abilities, God has a settled thought in his heart for each of our lives. Increase. Exponential increase. A spreading out to the right and to the left that creates a wave of generational increase in blessing coming from our lives. How do we get in on that? Well, first, we'll have to reject any nagging thoughts of doubt like, I'll see that when I believe it, or I'll believe that when I see it. I'll believe that when I see it. Because that's the exact opposite way the kingdom works, right? When we're moving in step with the Holy Spirit, we find ourselves moving towards things we don't understand, rather than sitting back and watching at a distance. And because God knows how we're made, he helps get us moving by first communicating a fresh idea like double portion increase. And he speaks it to our heart and he speaks it to our spirit. And if we can catch it, if we can just get a glimpse of it, then as we take hold of it, the process of renewing our minds gets initiated. God opens up the eyes of our heart to start seeing and looking at things differently. And that starts changing the way we think and process life in real time. And then God secures that new viewpoint by giving us new ways and new vocabulary to express and explain what he has revealed to us, because he knows better than we do just how important and how powerful our words are. Enlarge the place of your tent. The tent part jumped out at me. Tents are meant to be put up, taken down, and moved. Tents have a unique mobility in contrast to typical brick and mortar houses. And Hebrew tent describes a dwelling place or a tabernacle recognized from a distance. In Hebrew, place means a standing, a spot, a locality, or a condition of body or mind. And the Hebrew word for enlarge is so picturesque. To broaden, to make more room. To increase capacity, to expand, to go further, to go beyond, to break out, to break through, to occupy new territory, to be unlimited, to be without boundaries. George Commages likes to say, big God, big God. And we're all invited into that bigness. However, rather than enlarge, it's far too easy to let ourselves settle. To just let ourselves settle into a certain narrowness in our daily lives. Now, God will honor that choice, but even when we're living too small, that doesn't prevent God from still working with us. God meets us there, and he invites and he woos us out into the more extensive expanses of his grace. Through the persistent indwelling work of the Holy Spirit, God is totally committed to empowering us to be who we're created to be, so that we can do the fullness of what we're created to do. I woke up early Friday morning, I was thinking about the phrase, enlarge the place of your tent, enlarge the place of your tent. And suddenly I heard this thought, get a bigger campsite. Get a bigger campsite. You know, we all have a tendency to settle into what we know and into predictable routines with levels of challenge that we find manageable. Well, wherever we are hanging out right now, wherever we pitched our tent, I don't believe that place is going to be big enough for the more that God has coming our way. A bigger place is going to be needed. That could be about physical space, but for sure, this is more about each of us opening ourselves up and becoming a bigger place spiritually. Ephesians 4 lays out a three-step get a bigger campsite plan. Number one, break free from the old ways. We've sung about that this morning. There's been words about that this morning. The Amplified says, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which has characterized your previous manner of life and is constantly being corrupted by and through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Boy, if we started thinking about our old self like that and our old ways that way, it'd be sure a lot easier to set it aside. The message says everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I've made up my mind. I'm never going back. Hey, there's nothing back to go to. It ain't back there anymore anyway. It's not back there. Two, be made new in the attitude of our minds. The Amplified says, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude constantly is important. I don't think arrived is a destination in this life or in the next. Being constantly renewed must be our norm rather than settling for what we know now about anything. I watched one of Graham Cook's recent teaching series a couple weeks ago, and in one session, Graham said, we can't become a new person by just changing our behavior. Graham said, we become a new person by discovering more about who we are in Christ and then lining up our behaviors with those revelations. When the Father looks at us, he doesn't see what's wrong with us. God sees what's missing from our current expression of him, and he's committed to giving us those encounters. We become a new person by discovering more about who we are in Christ and then lining up our behavior with those revelations. When the Father looks at us, he doesn't see what's wrong with us. God sees what's missing from our current expression of him, and he is committed to giving us those encounters. Step three, receive and have the new self put on you. This new, fresh self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And as we get free from our old ways of thinking and acting, God reshapes our perceptions and our understanding, and that prepares us to be dressed for success by God himself. The Message calls it a God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself out into our conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in us. The Passion says, it's time to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and then live in union with him. Enlarge the place of your tent and stretch your curtains wide. We don't only need a bigger campsite, we need to open up our tent. Rather than living with our flaps down, cut off, and isolated in our own world, I think this speaks to a level of vulnerability and transparency that God wants to be part of all our lives. There is a magnetic attraction that comes with true humility. And when we choose to live as wide open tents, we invite other people into our lives. Jesus was the most magnetic person who ever walked on the planet. People were drawn to him of every persuasion, of every kind. Even the people that didn't like him couldn't stay away from him. Jesus lived like that, and so can we. But have you noticed that God often uses people to stretch us? People have this unique ability to stretch our nerves, stretch our patience, hopefully to stretch our prayer life. Although most of us don't really enjoy being stretched. Be that as it may, God knows better than we do that we and our faith have to be stretched. Amen. We have to be stretched in order for us to become the fullest expression of who God created us to be so that we can reach our greatest potential. You heard about the guy who made an appointment with the doctor because he wasn't able to do all the things around his house that he used to do. And after the doctor checked him over, he said, "Okay, go ahead, doc. Tell me in plain English. I can take it." Doctor says, "Well, in plain English, the best as I can tell, you're just getting lazy." The man said, "Okay, now give me a medical term that I can tell my wife." Come on. You know, most of us tend to, at least initially, resist stretching, reaching, and extending ourselves. And too many times we let unpleasant experiences from the past keep us from new possibilities in the present. When we come against something that's bigger or new or different, we have a tendency to back off or to go around it. Well, God knows how we're made, and fortunately for us, he doesn't hold our weakness against us. Instead, God has put his Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit is the ultimate CrossFit coach. He constantly, creatively, and brilliantly works with and in us to increase our spiritual core strength. The Holy Spirit is more than able to help us live and prosper outside of and even beyond what right now defines our comfort zone, which is one more reason why he's called the Comforter. Not only for the times we're sad, but for the times we're living outside of our comfort zone, and he takes us there often. Double portion increase is an invitation to move towards whatever challenges come our way and then to go through them with God's help. Do not hold back is the only way through. I was reading an article a couple days ago about this new phenomenon they're calling quiet quitting. You heard about quiet quitting? It's describing what's happening now with so many people that are no longer working in an office, and so they're just working at home. And what's happening is the level and the standard of work is going down, down, down. People are doing the bare minimum just to get by. You don't have the accountability of the office. You don't have the relationships. You don't have the things going on. And the level of work is going down. It's called quiet quitting. Look, quiet quitting will not cut it. Quiet quitting is the opposite of do not hold back. In Hebrew, do not hold back means do not restrain, do not refrain. And better than we do, God knows our strengths and our weaknesses and our giftings and our talents. And all he asked us to do is to partner with him in the good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do together. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the knowledge of him." We are all called and equipped by God to be people who live to give. All of us. We're all called and equipped by God to be people who live to give. And this far down the road in my spiritual journey, it seems to me that more often than not, that giving is based on our availability than on our ability. Lengthen your cords. Larger, wide open tents require longer cords to keep them securely held in place. I think this has something to do with choosing to be in a growing circle of healthy relationships. We really do need each other. And we have so much to gain from shared life and experiences. You know, you can learn all your lessons yourself. Or you can be walk with some other people a little further down the road from you. You've already been there, done that. You can hear their story and you don't have to repeat it the way they did. But we need to be in relationship. It's even though the Lord has slowly been increasing our fellowship, it's really easy just to show up here on the weekend and be in and out and not be known. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. There are so many amazing people in this room. The experiences, the life challenges they've been through, the things they're facing right now. There are so many stories you have no idea. Unless you get to know them and they get to know you. There is so much to be gained from shared life and shared experience together. We call it living out the one another's here. Love one another, share with one another, serve one another, encourage one another, provoke one another to love and good deeds. When necessary, forgive one another. As relational cords are lengthened, we need to strengthen our stakes. We're meant to be like a big tree. And the taller the tree gets and the more the branches spread out, the deeper the roots must grow. And that made me think of Psalm 1 and the prosperity and blessing of living like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And I love Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And beyond that, to absolutely know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. In Hebrew, this strengthened is a cool word. It means to fasten upon, to seize, to be strong, to be courageous, which describes our part. But then the definition goes on and it includes to be caused to be strengthened, cured, healed, repaired, and fortified. And that's God's part. Psalm 18 says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Barren, rejoice. Enlarge, stretch, don't hold back. Lengthen and strengthen. The Lord didn't speak any of those words to Isaiah as a suggestion. They are all choices, but they're stated here as non-optional commands. And I want to remind us again that obedience is a simple thing. We just have to do what we're told. And every time we choose to obey God, amazing new opportunities and blessings open up to us and open up through us. Earlier this week on Tuesday, I'd gotten an email in the office, and it was somebody asking a question, but the wording and all that was just, it was so strange. It was just weird. It was so woke. It was just, oh my goodness. It was like, I can't believe this, you know, and processing that and just kind of talking about it all day. Oh man, I mean, sort of, some of it even made my heart sad, but I printed out a copy of it, and I was going to bring it home and show it to Cindy. It was a little after 5 o'clock on Tuesday. And I was just about to head out the door, had that copy of that email in my hand, and I heard in my spirit, go write them back right now. Wow. So I turned from the door and went back and opened up my office, set it on the computer, and sent an email out to them. Took about 20 minutes to get it composed and put together, pressed send, and started to head home. I was home 5 minutes later, and my phone lit up, and somebody who was on that text stream with the answer said, I can't believe that's what they said. I can't believe that answer. And I told that to Cindy. She said, what did they say? I said, I don't know. I don't have my emails. I don't get emails on my phone. But I had to come back up for a meeting that night. So when I got here, I checked. And so this response that I'd given to this kind of weird, woke question all of a sudden opened the door. Yeah, we'll do this. We'll do this. We'll do this. I mean, it was like this partnership that was potentially developing. Who would have thought after 5 o'clock on a Tuesday that anybody would be reading their emails anyway, right? But it was just so clear. Do it right now. Yes. Right now. And so I just did it. Friday, Cindy was spending some time in the Word, and she was just there, and then all of a sudden, the Lord brought somebody to mind, and he started downloading to her what he thought about that person, phrase after phrase after phrase after phrase, and she had her journal, and so the Lord just had her write that down, and so she was writing down all those things, and she said just the tone of the Lord's heart was so beautiful in the way he said it, but then he impressed on her heart to pray it over them as a declaration, and to just, you know, pray that for him, and so she did that, and then he told her, take a picture and text it to him. I mean, just send it on your phone. Send it to him. Which she did. 2 minutes later, the phone rings. Her phone rings. And the person she sent it to is on the other end of the phone, crying so hard they can't talk at first. And they said, they've been in a place, they've been in a study, they've been looking at some stuff, but things were getting dark and things were getting confusing around them. And they had literally just said, God, how do you see me? What do you think of me? Bing, there's a text. From God. I mean, his timing is amazing. But listen, that happened because Cindy heard what he said, did what he said all the way through. Not just thinking, well, those are cool thoughts, but she wrote it down. And not just writing it down, but then praying it over that person. Not just praying it over, but then sending it to that person. Because that's what God said to do. Every time we obey. You have no idea what's coming next, but every time we obey, we open up amazing opportunities, amazing blessings to us, but also through us. Obedience is a simple thing. Just do what you're told. As we evaluate where we are in our lives currently, as we consider what we currently feel called to or led to do, both individually and as a fellowship of believers, I believe we're walking right into a fresh opportunity to partner with God and believe him to increase us beyond what we can think or hope or imagine. As we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and as we walk by faith and not by sight, in step with the Holy Spirit, a supernatural dynamic gets unleashed that sets us up for new breakouts and bigger breakthroughs as God expands our capacity to receive and release his mercy, goodness, and love. Without any doubt, God has the ability, the willingness, the desire, and the capacity to bring about a double portion increase in blessing that manifests itself super abundantly. All he needs now is our next yes, Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, living, active, speaking to us, speaking into our lives, speaking into our days. Father, I thank you for the 23 years that Impact has been here. This was an expression of church that you wanted in the Hill Country. And I thank you, Lord, for all that it took to get it up and going, and the people here in the beginning, the people that are already here now, the things that have happened over 23 years. Thank you, Lord. But I thank you that the best is yet to come. And we say yes to this double portion increase in our lives. We're the church. We're the church. It's not a building. It's not a piece of property. We are the church. And there's a double portion increase you want to bring into our lives. More than we can hold for ourselves. We just have to spill it out and give it away everywhere we go. And so I pray, Lord, you would just keep positioning us in that place. Cancel the who, me thoughts or maybe my neighbor. No, it's for all of us. Without exception. Cancel the thought, well, yeah, I'll believe it when I... We say no to that. We choose to see it before we believe it. We choose to just embrace the idea. We say, yes, you've said it, and that's enough. And we ask you, Lord, to just keep raising up in our spirit. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Little yeses, big yeses, medium-sized yeses. Just yes. Just yes to you, following the things that you're calling us to do and walking into those places with you. Every day you prepare good works for us to do together with you. We just want to partner with you more and more consistently in all of that. Lord, help us enlarge. Help us stretch. Help us not hold back. Help us lengthen and strengthen who we are in you. And we ask this for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Amen. All right.